And back at the expedition, our intrepid boy reporter and his trusty mentor have chartered a plane to an island in the Indian Ocean in search of another endangered species, the Rodrigues fruit bat. We join him as he is filing his first report.
Well, we've finally got to Rodrigues, the small twin otter plane. Until very recently, we would have had to get the boat, which would have been a problem because the timetable was simply the captain's whim, and we could have been stranded here for a month or so. It's a small island, only 42 square miles, but it's fantastically crowded. 30,000 people live here. They mostly live by subsistence agriculture, which means that there has been a lot of forest clearance, and the forest, of course, is the home of the bats. The remaining forest is now protected in order to prevent erosion of the hillsides and preserve the watersheds, and thus a continuing supply of fresh water on the island. Today, when the evening begins to fall, we will go and search the forest for bats. It looks as if it might be much more difficult than we've been led to believe.
It's so calm. We're sitting here facing the sea and you can't even feel a sea breeze. It's hard to believe that Rodrigues is right in the middle of a major cyclone belt. And this is one of the biggest problems facing the fruit bats, because although over the years they've been killed for food and they've suffered from habitat destruction and so on, when a cyclone hits the island, they all get torn off their perches and blown out to sea. Or even if they manage to survive that, they have nothing to eat because all the fruit gets stripped from the trees, and so they starve to death. When the last cyclone hit the island, or the last major one in 1979, it killed virtually the entire bat population, and they reckon that maybe only 60 or 70 of them managed to survive. Well, there haven't been any major cyclones here in the last 10 or 15 years, and the population's managed to build up a bit more once again. No one's exactly sure how many there are, but it's probably in the region of 800 or 1,000.
We've now got about 2 hours in which to find this creature that we've come all this way to look for. And we're on our own this time.
Yeah, this is how it should be. We've had it too easy up until now. We've been shown everything, haven't had to work for ourselves. So this is the real test. If we fail to find them now, then...
We may as well pack up and go home. Of course, if we do find one now, we can also pack up and go home.
Correct.
Oh, yes. There they are.
There.
It's very difficult at any point to say, right, there is a fruit bat. You can see one. On the other hand, you are aware of them fluttering backwards and forwards, just sort of beyond the leaf cover. So you just get a sort of sensation of one flitting past and another flitting past. You never actually see one outright. They're just sort of tantalizingly just beyond where you can get a good look of them.
They're flying about 10 yards away from us. Oh, you can just see a couple over here quite clearly. There's quite a nice big gap in the leaves, which the bats have probably pulled all the leaves and branches off themselves, because they often like to weed around their favourite roost so they can see one another and keep a check on the colony. There's quite a few bats flying overhead, as you can see through the gap. One of them's just stretched out its wing. It's hanging upside down. You can see a gaping hole in the middle of the wing. Probably got that from a fight with another bat, or maybe scagged it on a branch or something while it was feeding up in the trees. Doesn't seem to affect their flight at all, because a lot of the others flying overhead have also got holes and various cuts and things. They look so different to bats at home, nothing like vampire bats or any of ours in Britain. So they've got these amazing fox-like faces. And when they... There we are, this one of them's just moved a little bit into the light. It's got the most amazing golden-coloured fur. They're often called golden bats or flying foxes because they look so different to all the other bats.
And meanwhile, our blood is being sucked by mosquitoes.
The following day, Wendy Strahm, one of the field researchers from Mauritius, arrived here to do, she said brightly, a bat count. this surprised us. How do you count bats in the forest when you can hardly see them? She explained to us, rather patiently, I thought, that you go into the forest to see where the bats live. But if you want to count them, you have to go somewhere where you can actually see them flying over you. And there was a much, much simpler place to do that.
What we usually do is we come up to this place, and the bats, as they come out of Cascade Pigeon, cross the road, so they're very easy to count. But whenever there's a stiff wind like there is now, they're flying backwards again.
Flying in all directions.
Oh, yeah, this isn't any good. I think it's not going to be very useful.
This is the most absurd place to come to watch an endangered species. We've come all this way to a tiny island in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and this is the most endangered fruit bat in the world. And here we are standing next to the main road running across the spine of the island and in front of the local shop.
Anybody want a drink? Beer? <huh? laughs>
We're supposed to be doing field work. Now the night time, we can't see the bats anymore.
Yes, it was a complete muck-up.
We should have arrived a little bit earlier, and the wind should have been blowing a little bit less.
Yeah.
And then we shouldn't have been talking so much, and we shouldn't have had our beer, and then we might have got a few more bats.
Other than that, it was a great success.
Ah, well, can't win them all.